Well, I would invite you to have your Bibles open at our reading of Luke 1, 26 to 38. This morning, I want to highlight one significantly important aspect of Christmas. For many in the world, it is a hugely controversial feature of Christmas. Yet for those in the Christian church, it is a sure and certain foundation. At least it jolly well should be. I am referring to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular to highlight the necessity of the virgin birth. A theologian of the last century said this about the virgin birth. The virgin birth denotes particularly the mystery of revelation. It denotes the fact that God stands at the start where real revelation takes place. God, and not the arbitrary cleverness, capability or piety of man. In Jesus Christ, God comes forth out of the profound hiddenness of his divinity in order to act as God among us and upon us. That is revealed and made visible to us in the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But it is grounded upon the fact signified by the virgin birth that here in this, Jesus, God himself, has really come down and concealed himself in humanity. It was because he was veiled here that he could and had to unveil himself as he did at Easter. So, the virgin birth of the Saviour, it is scriptural teaching. It is a scriptural teaching. It is a truth that Jesus was miraculously begotten by God and born of Mary, who was a virgin. Meaning Mary had no sexual relations with any man when she conceived Jesus. This miraculous act of God is described beautifully in our reading, where we have the angel appearing to Mary, who was engaged to Joseph. Now, in those days, engagement was a legal arrangement in which a woman was betrothed or pledged to a man. It was as good as being married. Engagement did not permit sexual relations. Unlike today, in the culture of Mary and Joseph, in their day, this was very much no intimacy before marriage. It was a rule that was adhered to. Since Mary had not known Joseph in any intimate way, she quite rightly wondered how she could possibly bear a child. Well, the angel explained that this would be accomplished by the power of the highest. There was nothing physical about this divine act. This is emphasized by the statement that the child would be the Holy One, verse 35. Only Almighty God could perform the miracle of the incarnation. Now it is significant to note that there are four ways that God has created a human body. Just give you a moment to puzzle over that. Firstly, he created Adam's body. The second way, he brought Eve's body into existence. The third way, we're all included. The average human body comes into being this way. The fourth way, the way Christ's human body, born of the Virgin Mary, without the agency of a human father. Now we must understand that the Son of God could never have been born as we were born. And this is for a number of significant reasons. One major principal reason being because every baby is a new creation, having not existed before conception. Yes, known to God, but not in existence before conception. That's all of us. Now this, of course, cannot be the case with the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus has always existed. He was not only born within the world, but he came from without the world. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. According to Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Note the words. A child is born. This resulted in his human nature. A son is given, consequential of his divine nature. Thus, unlike any other being in this universe, the Lord Jesus has two natures, divine and human. And the eternal divine nature of the Son and God, of the Son of God, was joined in Mary's womb with a human nature by the direct act of God, Scripture tells us. And quite rightly, alongside with Mary, we understandably ask, how can this be? It's a miracle. How can this be? Well, I think it's fair to say that no preacher can ever fully explain it. In fact, I'll go a great deal further and say that no human being this side of eternity will ever be able to fully comprehend the historic miracle of the virgin birth. Martin Luther said this. He said this, the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. So, with that in mind, what do we have today? In much of this 21st century scientific world, well, we have an increasing number of people who choose to mock. To mock the idea that Jesus was born of a virgin. Claiming it is all the power of invention, and it is all the power of unreality and of imagination. But even more tragic than that, we have a growing number in the Christian church, would you believe, who have distanced themselves from the virgin birth and actually moved across to the world view. Deplorably, the message from some parts of the Christian church today is that the wonder, majesty and the glory of the virgin birth can safely be viewed as, well, unimportant, insignificant, or worse still, well, that's just fantasy. Men and women, theological liberals in leading positions in the church, who incidentally seem to be the ones who get on the media, publicly denying that the virgin birth ever took place. And tragically, seeing no relevance to its fundamental worth to the Christian church. Well, my question this morning is, how important is the virgin birth to us as members of his local church here at Stone Market? Because rejecting the truth of any part of Scripture is treacherous. But to reject something as fundamental as the virgin birth is unmitigated disaster to the Christian church. So I want us to fully grasp the necessity of the virgin birth. So that when we come across these lies, when we come across these lies from either the world or people in the church, we need to put them straight. We need to be armed with this. Firstly, then, to deny the miracle of the virgin birth is, in short, to deny the credibility of Scripture. Let me read you a few parts of Scripture. Genesis 3:15. Let's start at the beginning. So the Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And of course our reading in verses 31, 35 and 37. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And of course, that small verse, 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. At least, 18 times in Scripture, an angel appeared and spoke to various humans about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Zacharias, etc., etc. To deny the truth of the virgin birth, you must dismiss entirely the witness of the holy angels of God and substitute mere human intelligence for the far higher intelligence of the angels, holy messengers of God. These scriptures, many other prophetic announcements, you've just got to ignore them. Discard them. If you discount the record of the virgin birth. Consequently then, if we reject the credibility of any scripture, well, surely we must, by definition, call into question the reliability of all scripture. Then where will we be? Secondly, to refuse to believe the record of the virgin birth of Jesus is to outrightly slander the chastity of Mary. Do you believe that Isaiah, the angel of the Lord, and Matthew were liars? For all three testified that a virgin would give birth. Their testimonies are as follows. I've already read one of them. Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, the angel said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Luke 1:34 of our reading, Matthew 1:18-20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take up to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So are you going to deny these? Are you going to call these people liars? Also bear this in mind, since Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, and if you discount that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, you are left in the only one other position you can have, that of the scandal of another man being involved. And that would mean Mary was guilty of fornication and could not have been highly favoured by God. Blessed among women.
as our reading in Luke 1 clearly states you are. Thirdly, to deny the virgin birth is actually going to debase or corrupt the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this. Consider the enormous stain on the character of Jesus Christ if he were not born of a virgin. Jesus would have been an illegitimate child. Indeed, this is precisely what Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees, accused him of. Listen to these words. We were not born of fornication. We have one Father God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. It goes on. He would also have been the son of an unknown father. Since Joseph was not the human father, who was the father then? Think about the enormous implications that would have. What is the son of an unknown father called in this world? Don't shout it out. Because actually, you're all far too nicer people for me to use that language. But the word is found in the AV. I will use the term illegitimate, as recorded in the New King James. Deuteronomy 23:2 says this, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. That meant not numbered among the congregation and denied any office of service. The implications of not being virgin-born are immense and momentous. Jesus would have been disqualified by his own word to be the Redeemer and the Saviour of this world. The calamity of denying the virgin birth goes on. It doesn't stop here. Can it get any worse? Well, yes, it can. Fourthly, it discards all the credentials of Christianity. Just blows us out of the water. Christianity, and only Christianity, offers this fallen world what man-made religion can never offer. Christianity offers a sinless Saviour. Scripture teaches that Jesus was fully human, with a physical body like ours. This he received from Mary. At the same time, Jesus was fully God, with an eternal, sinless nature. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. One more piece of scripture, Hebrews 2:14-17. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It's all there in Scripture. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not virgin born, then he, as the son of a human father, could never be sinless. In fact, Jesus would be exactly like all the leaders of all the man-made religions around this world. Dead. Dead. Dead in their sins and utterly unable to save themselves, let alone anyone else. Christianity, and only Christianity, offers an atoning death. If Jesus was not sinless, he was not qualified to be the spotless Lamb of God. And his death could never atone for the sins of anyone. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, Scripture tells us. Christianity, and only Christianity, offers a living Saviour. If his death did not atone for sin, then Christ did not rise from the dead. And his bones, well, they're still in the tomb then. Therefore our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, and we are still dead in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Christianity, and only Christianity, offers a future hope. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then he's not coming back for us. And we are helpless. We are hopeless. We have a future that is as dark as pitch. Christianity, and only Christianity, offers salvation from sin. Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If Christ Jesus was not virgin born, then all claims, all of them, regarding his redemptive work, regarding his saving power, are totally and completely invalid. They're worthless. Worthless. And friends, what I'm saying to you is actually plain common sense. If Jesus was not virgin born, he would not have a sin nature. It follows on. If Jesus was not virgin born, he would have a sin nature. If a sin nature, he could not have lived a sinless life. He couldn't have done it. If no sinless life, then no atoning death. If no atoning death, no bodily resurrection. No resurrection, no coming again. Just comes down like a tumbling pack of cards. In short, all the foundation stones of the Christian faith are gone, because there can be no salvation without the virgin birth. No virgin birth, do you know what? We might as well give up and just become religious. That's our only hope. If there's no virgin birth, that's as critical as that. It is an indispensable foundation of our faith, the truth and wonder of the virgin birth of the Saviour. We water this truth down, we really do. If we keep quiet over this, if we water this down in any way, we do it at our peril, and it is always detrimental to the gospel. The virgin birth should always prompt a profound sense of awe for the Christian. Absolutely, and not just at Christmas. Be rightly stunned by the plan conceived in the heart of God, carried out by the Holy Spirit of God, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, resulting in the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. To deny such a thing from outside the church, well, that's simple ignorance. But to deny it from inside the church is outright heresy. Let us, as followers of Jesus, be extremely clear about this matter. Let us put the liberals, put the ignorant, put the false religions, let us put them right. Let us boldly proclaim to the world the true miracle of Christmas. That we are celebrating the virgin birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us openly praise God for the miracle of Christmas. With that in mind, let me read some words by a Christian from the last century who penned these words. Praise him for the incarnation, for the world made flesh. For the word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite. A baby who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. So, friends, let us make known to others the glorious King of Kings, the Christ who came from heaven's glory, who was born of the Virgin in a stable to die on a cross to save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. As we close with our hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, please note the words. Treasure the truth of this most breathtaking, this awe-inspiring miracle of our Creator God. Amen.